Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, near or far, high or low, you're listening to the Coach D podcast. And listeners, I'm really excited to have this guest in the studio with me today. I've been excited all day, to be honest, but before we even start, listeners, you know how we do on the Coach D podcast. We have to introduce these athletes the right way. So let me start the music and cue in this special guest the right way. Listeners, stepping on the court at 5'11", we have a guard by way of Greece. In today's episode, I'm thrilled to have a basketball powerhouse joining us. She is a former professional player of the Greek national team who boasts an impressive resume, having graced the courts of the WNBA with the Connecticut Sun and played for esteemed European teams in France, Spain, Czech Republic and Turkey. She's now making her mark as a head coach for a prestigious basketball academy. So join us as we delve into her extraordinary journey, discussing highlights from her playing career, her insights gained from diverse basketball coaches, and just making a transition from being a stellar player to an influential coach. Listeners, please give a warm welcome to Avina Moxey.
Hello, Dimitris. How are you?
I'm doing amazing, honestly. Just had a four-day teaching basketball at a school. You know, it went amazingly well. And, you know, to be on the podcast with you, Coach, is truly an honor. And before we even just speak about your playing career and just where you're at now, being a head coach at a academy, just talk to us, Coach Avina. How is your physical and how is your mental right now?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me. You made a great intro about me, and I feel great after that. Thank you very much. The pleasure and the honor is mine. I'm really supporting of what you're doing. I start following you after you texted me. Physically, I'm fine, and mentally, I think I'm better than fine.
Amazing. Amazing. And if you could, Avina, kind of just take us back, you know, because I'm always curious to know, you know, especially for yourself, where was you when a ball was placed in your hands for the very first time?
Well, right now I'm in Athens, as you know, but back then I was in a small place on the north of Greece.
Okay.
Maybe you know Thessaloniki, maybe you've heard about it.
Yes.
Somewhere there, but a very small place, more like a town. The name is Goumenissa, which is my hometown and I love very much. And I was there when I first saw and touched the basketball.
Wow. And even at the time, because, you know, The one cool thing about being in the UK, yes, we follow the NBA, but, you know, we grow up watching the NBA, but we grow up watching European basketball, and you definitely hear Greece being one of those powerhouses. So at that time, you know, from, you know, you being so young, was there even back then a huge basketball culture back in Greece?
Well, When I first started with the ball, my connection with the ball, actually, I was very little, very young.
Yes.
And that was because of my brother and sister, which they were older than me and they used to play. But when I was nine, it was the year 1987.
Right.
And this is a year where Greece won the European Championship.
Yeah.
It was the first time for any sport in Greece, so it was huge.
Wow.
And I was at that age where when you look something on the TV, everyone looked like hero to me.
Of course.
Those guys on the TV celebrating the cup, they look like, I don't know, like gods.
Yes.
And the only thing I could imagine or I could say, and I still remember that, was that I want to look like them. And that meant I want to wear this uniform, which my country's name is written on it. I wanted to be a national team player and play for Hellas.
Yes.
And I don't know what else it meant when I said I want to be like them. But I answered to your question. I grew up in a time where basketball in Greece was number one. And all we were doing was playing basketball everywhere, anywhere, anyhow.
Amazing. And, you know, as you continue to play basketball from when you was young, you know, I feel like every single basketball player has that moment. It could be in training, it could be in a game where, you know, the hard work starts to pay off and they get more comfortable being on the court. When was that moment for you, Avina, when you realized you was really good at basketball, you know, or you really had a talent for it? Like, when did that moment happen for you?
Well, actually, very, very nice question. I don't know if I've ever felt that I was good in basketball until I was very old. I mean, yeah. I was always doubting myself. And I was always working extra because I was saying to myself, you might be very good now or here or in these circumstances, but you're not good enough, something like that. So I had a coach, my first coach, and I was really lucky because as a kid, I played basketball because this was what I really loved. It was pure love. I never thought about living out of it or living for it. It was just a game. It was just fun. I really loved it. And I was there for the joy of the game. But she started telling me that I'm talented, whatever that meant. I was good or I was good enough or I was better than others. And playing in the youth championships, I could tell that in our region, I was maybe one of the best players. But That was not in comparison with the rest of Greece, for example. Like I said, I was from a small place. And when I was 16, this coach told me that don't be afraid to commit to that, because if you work a lot or enough,
yes,
you could be able to play in the national team. Right. And that was the moment where I didn't believe that I was good enough to achieve it, but I believe that this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to try. I wanted to put everything in, and that moment actually changed my mentality, and I basketball, and I had my first big goal about it.
Right, right. And I think one cool thing, because I was kind of just doing a bit of research on you, coach, and I think one thing you said in it was a video on you, is that you kind of never thought that, one, you would be playing basketball at the WNBA level.
No.
You know, you scoring 23 points, which, I mean, for me, my favorite player is Michael Jordan. So, you know, that 23 really, you know, is like a lucky number.
Like a sign, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, even for yourself, can you share some highlights from your playing career, especially with your experiences in the WNBA and playing for your Greek national team?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you first that Michael Jordan was and is my favorite player ever. I mean, it's a thing of generation, I think.
Right.
This is a player I was watching when I was younger and I was trying to copy him. And number 9, which was the number of my uniform, it was because of him.
Right.
Because when he came to play the Olympics in Barcelona, he couldn't wear 23, so he picked up 9. So that was the reason this became my number. So I am also related to him and with you like that.
Yes.
So if I could highlight some moments of my career, that would be definitely the night you mentioned when I played WNBA and I scored 23 points. That is something that I could never, never imagine or dream of.
Right.
Even if you had the power to ask me to dream whatever I want, I could never go there. Like I said, like WNBA became a great wish for me, like a dream.
Yes.
I wanted to go there, I wanted to see how it is, but I never believed I could make it. But I worked hard, I made it, and I was lucky enough to be able to play some games, to enjoy actually the way the WNBA is, which is pretty similar to NBA.
Yes.
And that was definitely one of the happiest moments of my life. Other than that, of course, all the other highlights I have is with my national team. And I don't know if I can separate some, but I can name definitely 2004 Olympics in Athens. It was a great experience. We were playing in our home. We had 15,000 people in our stands. That has never happened again. Everybody was yelling for us after the games. Everybody knew me on the streets because the games were on TV. So of course, you know, we were the face of the week.
Yes.
That was a really, really nice moment because it is different when you walk out the street and people say hi to you because you play in a club or you play for the national team. So I really felt that. And it was really, really nice experience. Then, of course, 2009 in Latvia, my team got the fifth place for the first time in history. And I got the name, I got the MVP, which was, I don't know. I can't even describe the feeling.
Right.
You know, when they announced to me that you're going to be the MVP, I couldn't believe it. And at the same time, I don't know if I was so happy that I should, because I was crying. And if I can describe now the way I was crying, it is more because of all these years of practice and wondering if I'm good enough or if I'm not good enough.
Right.
In just one moment, in just one night, it all paid off.
Yeah.
So that's the way I was feeling.
Right.
And then, of course, I can name 2017. Again, with our national team, we got the fourth position. It was the first time we played in semifinals. I got also in the best five. I was in a big, you know, like I was 39, so it had also a different meaning.
Yes.
And it felt also really, really nice. Different, of course, from the first time, but
right.
Equal valuable.
Yes. Man. And even, I mean, just, it must have been, Avila. I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, to wear those national colors, to play for your home country, but then to know that the basketball tournament is happening in your country as well. I mean, the atmosphere, I mean, like you said, you know, it's never been that sold out for a game. I mean, just the energy and just the overall atmosphere just during that whole tournament must have been absolutely amazing and most probably a huge honor for you as well.
Dimitrios, it was exactly the way you said. And I have to say that it was also Olympics, you know, because Olympics really had something different. It is, I don't know, a great event, the greatest of all.
Yes.
Athletes from all over the world. I was still not very old, so I didn't even visit most of these countries that we were hosting for the Olympic Games. And Athens was even different as a city because they had special streets for the buses that they were carrying athletes. You could see everywhere. Everybody was happy. People were celebrating. Different nationalities. And, you know, today it is a little bit more common, but back then it wasn't so common to see so many nationalities in just one place.
Interesting.
So the event itself was huge. The fact that we were participating was huge for us.
Right.
And then on the other hand, Because, you know, like you're taking part in a great event, which you kind of know what it means.
Right.
And you feel great. But then on the other hand, you have the possibility to leave it, which is something different from what you imagined. It was even better.
Right.
And of course, like you said, the fans, the fact that after the games, I left the gym just for a little bit with my parents, and you were walking down the street and people were telling my parents, congratulations for your daughter. It was amazing, you know, it was incredible.
Right, right. And even just transitioning from player to coach, how would you say, how has your background as a former professional player influenced your coaching style and philosophy?
Wow, very nice question. I think that me as a player, I mean, playing basketball for all my life, because really this is all I did.
Right.
Definitely influenced me a lot. And the way I tried to coach kids the way I wanted to be coached. As a player, I was a little bit more, let's say, tough or cruel.
Yes.
But as a coach, I try to feel for the players, try to understand them, try to be this one person out of them, out of themselves, that believes in them. And I'm trying to remember, or sometimes they remind me without even me want this, what I needed when I was a kid and what I needed when I was doubting myself, or when I didn't know what to practice, how to practice, when to practice, all this stuff. So definitely I have a lot of influence on my coaching style. First of all, from all the coaches that I've been coached.
Right.
I mean, good or bad, it doesn't matter. I carry these things with me. I remember which one I like and I want to copy, or which one I don't like and I don't want to be like.
Yes.
And then, of course, like, I put a lot of my style. You know, I'm very passionate about basketball, and that will never leave, no matter if I'm a coach or player.
Right.
But definitely, my whole career, every situation I've been through, taught me a lot of things that I carry today on my coaching, on my coaching style.
Right, right. And even as a head coach at a basketball academy, what aspects of player development do you like to prioritize, and how do you instill both the skill side of basketball, but also, you know, that mental resilience that is needed in players?
Mm-hmm. Well, your questions are really, really nice, really good. Thank you. For me, my number one priority is to use basketball as a tool, and the athletes that they come to our academy to gain many skills for their lives inside and outside of the court.
Yes, 100%.
Then my number one skill that I want to give to the kids, or try at least, is to give them confidence, to help them believe in themselves. You know, to teach them a basketball drill, a basketball skill, let's say dribbling, passing, or shooting, it is very easy when you have the time and the repetitions in your hand.
Yes.
Like, for example, I have a player, and let's say he just started, and he's not very good. And I know that if we have practiced, let's say, 5 times a week, in a year, he will have these skills, dribbling, passing, and shooting, he will have them in a very, very good level. And then in 2 years or in 3 years, he will have these in excellence.
Right.
So I'm not worried about the skills of basketball. If they have the mental skills, which I really try to put in,
yeah,
which is, like I said, confidence, consistency. Consistency for me is not only how you perform, but it's how you keep going to the practice. Consistency is when you keep trying, when you don't give up, when you have discipline to be on time, to follow the program of the practice, to say to yourself in the difficult days where you don't want to practice, where you don't want to sweat, when you don't want to run, then you know what, I'm going to go today because I want to be, I want to stay focused on my goal, for example.
Right.
This kind of stuff for me, it's my priority when they first come. Of course, I forgot to mention it, and it's very important. They need to have fun. Every day we start the practice and we put our athletes in the circle. I ask from them to give me a smile. And sometimes I know they don't feel like it, but then when they see you smile in front of their face, they do it. And I think it's a good thing to start with because basketball is the game. Now, out of it, we have a lot, but very, 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 very many things to learn. Like, imagine you first go to a gym and you don't know anyone. And within 6 months, they're your best friends. Within 1 year, you have already maybe the best memories. So making friends, communicate, cooperate, be happy with the happiness of others, help your teammates, support, all these things are very important to me. More important than actually if a kid can really dribble very fast or, you know. And now, because I want to answer also for what I believe it's very important in basketball skills, that I will say the fundamentals. Sometimes we hear great NBA players, I mean, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant even said it, or LeBron or Giannis Antetokounmpo, they say it's all about the fundamentals. Every day I go to practice and I do the same thing over and over again. And people seem surprised by that, or sometimes kids are bored. They feel, oh, it's so boring. But actually, this is the key. There's no secret in basketball. It's that.
True.
So this is where I will always insist with my players. Like, I will go down to break again that pass, you know, again that shot, or again that missed layup, or again that missed free throw, or, you know, improving their dribble so nobody can take the ball out of them.
Right. And I mean, because you played at such a high level, and not just in the WNBA, you know, you was playing for many established teams within Europe. How did the different basketball cultures and playing styles impact your approach to the game?
Well, first of all, I changed many countries. So one thing that came out of it was that every country has a different basketball philosophy. For example, Spain, they play very fast.
Yes.
Like, fast breaks is their number one thing on basketball. And actually, last night I was watching Real Madrid and I could tell, like, their speed.
Yes.
The way they pass and they finish, it's incredible. Like,
yeah.
This is where they're very good at. So let's say from Spain, I took that. But not only as I put it now in words, like, it's not only, you know, just play faster and fast breaks. It's the whole procedure that makes you play like that. To actually have a fast break and to play faster, first of all, you have to work a lot on your athleticism. You know, it's not easy to say, oh yeah, I can pass that. You know, you have to make it faster, stronger, go further.
Right.
Second, you need to play fast break. You need to control defense. You need to play better defense. You need to take the rebounds. You know, it's a whole system. So from Spain, let's say I took that. Then from France, I took the very, 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 very organized offense, like set offense. It was their best. The way the coach I had broke down every situation in offense or in defense and play with time and play smart and be strategically correct.
Yes.
That gave me a lot of feedback on that field. Then, for example, in Czech Republic, I remember that the way that these people and this country, this culture, they should, like, I don't know, like we walk, like for them to take a shot, it's not, there is zero hesitation. There is not even the edge of the word hesitation. And I don't know, even of course their percentages are very high.
Yes.
But if you go behind that, because like I said, if I have a player and I want to make them good shooters, I will ask from them to give me time. So I put in the repetitions. But what is difficult to add in someone is the mentality of the shooting. Like, look around you and see the basketball players. Even if they're good shooters, even if they come after a whole week where they had great percentages during practice.
Right.
After their first three missed shots in the game, their whole body language changed.
True.
And that is difficult to put in. And that's actually what I like to do. Like, I want to play with their mind there. I want to build confidence. I want to say that whenever you miss a shot, it's none of your fault, you know?
Yes.
So that I took a lot of Czech Republic. Like, I'm telling you, like, when I went there, these girls, this coach, if he would see you passing the ball before you even look at the basket, you will be sitting on the bench. But really, that helped me a lot, and actually that transported my career. What else? Let me think. Then Turkey, for example, I love the way they were very open to American basketball.
Okay.
Like, yeah, like play free, don't think too much. Whatever you decide to do, you are a capable player, do it, go for it. The coaches, sometimes they were taking confidence out of your confidence. So that was great, you know?
Well.
A lot of picky rolls, early picky rolls.
Yes.
That's what I took there. And then last but not least, I would say that from all of them, which I mentioned before, it was very interesting to see the different culture and the difference in their behavior. Like, for example, you know, Greek people, we are Mediterranean, so we are very hot temper. It's true, you know, I'm not saying as a bad thing or as a good thing, but sometimes people can misunderstand us or take it as a very wrong message, the way that we get, I don't know, like, you know, instantly, yes, exactly. Or one of the other thing that we have very intense is that whatever happens, it is very important.
Yes.
So let's say I missed a shot. Oh, it's very important. I missed a game. It's very important. Okay. I learned from other countries and other cultures that it is not. And that helped me also a lot. Like, for example, in Turkey or in Czech Republic, it is not very important. Family is very important. Health is very important. Missing a shot is not important. Missing a game sometimes is not very important. You know, you're going to get better. You're going to go back and break it and see what happened and what you can do better. So that really helped me a lot to bring some balance in that Mediterranean character.
Right.
Spain, in the other hand, very similar to us, with a lot of pressure. Like, in Spain, everything is more important than you think. And missing a game is very important. And maybe you don't even have the right to lose sometimes. But this helped me to build resilience, you know, to be good under pressure, to know how it is when you have so much pressure on your head.
Right.
Friends, on the other hand, this culture was totally different from us, because French people don't express their emotions as much as we do.
Okay.
So for me, it was very difficult because I couldn't translate correct the body language of my teammates and my coach sometimes. And for a long period of time, I thought that we are not in the same page. We don't think about basketball the same way, or things like that.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I learned, of course, slowly, and it took time, that the things are not like this, and they just have a different perspective of acting and showing. So we were in the same page.
Yes.
We just had different reaction.
Right.
And also that helped me a little bit to control my hot temper, you know?
Yes. Man, I think there's, I mean, because I was even just looking at how you played the game and you really spoke on something that is super key, and I'm kind of hearing it more and more in the basketball podcast world, is that, you know, shooting is a mental game. You know, when you take 500 shots, you're not only working on the repetitions and the technique, you're really working on your mental. Can you stay locked into that zone for those 500 shots? And if you miss 10 in a row, are you going to overthink? Is your confidence going to go down, or can you stay locked in? And just looking at how you played the game, Avina, I mean, I was watching a highlight where I don't think you even hesitated. If you was open, if, you know, it was a pick and roll and the defender was in drop coverage, you would shoot it. Like, and even just if you saw someone who was open, there was such a rapid intensity to your game. Where did that style of play come from? Did it just come from the coaching style? Did it just come from you naturally? I'm just super curious.
Yeah, very, very, very good questions, really. I mean, you amaze me. Let me tell you, I'm going to start to answering this question opposite, okay, if you're okay. From my world.
Yes.
First of all, I think the WNBA changed the way I was shooting the ball. Because, yeah, and I will explain why. First of all, before I get to WNBA, that was my goal, you know, after I was playing in Europe and I was considered to be a good player and playing with the national team, and still people thought that I was a good player. I started thinking, okay, you know, if I'm a good player in Europe, if I play in EuroLeague and I'm doing good, why not try there?
Right.
So on my way there, I was also always asking the American teammates that I had every year, every time, everywhere, even the American opponents that I had, how is it in WBA? What should I work more? What should I improve? Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I was a shooter already, but I didn't like to be called as a shooter for no reason.
Okay.
Because I thought this gives me limitation as a player and I wanted to do more. You know, all right. Players go through this procedure. So trying to go there on my way, on my preparation to go to WNBA, I realized that, okay, if I go to States, I'm not going to be the faster that exists. I'm not going to be the one that jumps higher than anybody else. I'm not going to be the tallest. I'm not going to be the best ball handler. I don't know if I can be one of the best passers. So what do I have or what do I need? And anyway, asking and working and working and trying myself, you know, against players, I realized that what I have is that I'm a shooter.
Right.
And as a shooter, and actually as a specialist shooter, maybe I have a spot there. And this is exactly what happened. So I was working with that aim that, okay, maybe I need to be a better pick and roll player. Maybe I need to do better, I don't know, pull-ups, blah, blah, blah. But my strength is shooting. So, of course, I put a lot of repetitions in my practice and in my game, which slowly became my identity. I'm a shooter. Even today, if we call to play one-on-one and you, if you give me the whole lane to the basket, I'm going to shoot in front of you.
Yeah.
I don't even think about passing. I'm just going to shoot. I don't care.
Right.
That's my first instinct. So this is how it was built in a way. I mean, I was increasing the intensity in the practices. I was working in the real conditions of game to become better, to take more shots. And of course, like I said, the repetition really gives you confidence because you know you have done that many times, and when you're shooting you see that you don't miss that much, so you get that confidence, and then it comes to the games, you know. So when I put my leg on WNBA, the coach I had, Mike Thibault, he gave me that confidence back maybe 10 times.
What?
Yeah. I remember one time during practice, I did a pump fake and I went, you know, like to take one dribble and then pull up. He stopped the practice for no reason. Like, it wasn't a bad choice. He stopped the practice and he told me, Evina, I know you're a good shooter. I don't want to see a pump fake from you. You just shoot the ball. So from that moment, and I knew that he didn't care if I would miss. So from that moment, I had, like I said, like 10 times more of the confidence I was carrying. And that really worked out. And of course, after the game you mentioned, the 23 points I scored.
Yes.
And I mean by that, like after WNBA experience and shooting with that confidence in WNBA, I came back in Europe with, you know, I mean, that was, like I said, my instinct. People wake up in the morning and the first thing they do, they wash their face. Me, I shoot the ball.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And I think something that kind of isn't spoken about a lot is, especially, you know, you being that high level player at the time, is just the physical and mental demands of your job. So, you know, balancing professional basketball careers with your personal life, how do you manage the demands of the sport and maintain a healthy work-life balance?
Well, the Demetrius, I don't know if I balance it very well. I don't know if it was healthy. I mean, today I realized that because I was a little bit, let's say, old-fashioned maybe, or it was out of our time, sports psychology was not something I used, and I totally regret it. So to answer to your question, it was very difficult to balance personal life with basketball career, my basketball career, because first of all, I had to leave Greece because I wanted to play in the highest level, so that was not possible in my country.
Right.
So first of all, I have to leave everything that I had here, I had behind, like whatever that is. I mean, affair or parents or friends or whatever.
Yes.
So then, you know, you're going to a new country, you don't know many people, and you're there only for 7-8 months. Then you change again. Because as you see, like my career was, I was changing a lot, cities and countries. I didn't stay in one place besides Prague. So that was really, really difficult. And I don't know if it was healthy. Like, I would say it was not healthy at all.
Well,
I had a lot of moments of loneliness. I had a lot of moments of psychological pain. I had a lot of moments where, okay, you know, when you win a game and you play great, you're feeling so high that you don't mind. You'll go out with your teammates or with your new friends,
yeah,
and everything is cool. But when you're having a bad game and you don't play good,
yeah,
and then you lose a game,
yes,
it's not the same. You need someone that you're more connected, and you don't have anyone around you. So I don't know if I balance. I know that I had some periods where I used to say that three things in life should be in a line, and for you to know that you are in balance.
Yes.
I used to say, like, your mind, your heart, and your body being in the same place.
Right.
So let's say that out of the 16 years that I play abroad, maybe 4 times I had everything in the same spot.
Okay.
So wasn't very balanced, I guess. But today that it's all over, I can tell you that I didn't regret. The only thing I will do different, and really I suggest this to any athlete who can hear us, uses a sports psychologist, because they know how to unblock you when you are blocked in your thoughts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even just, you know, in terms of advice for aspiring basketball players, you know, especially, you know, those who kind of look up and still look up to how you played the game, how you approached the game, and just your impact as a coach now, you know, what key attributes or skills do you believe are crucial for success in both playing basketball and coaching basketball?
I would say not only these two, I think in life in general, what I say is like you need to have passion. You need to really want something. You need to be determined.
Right.
Like I remember myself, I know that I didn't really mean it. I mean, I used to say it might be difficult, I might fall, but there's no way I'm gonna quit.
Here we go.
So I know that when I was saying that, it had a lot of fear behind, it had a lot of doubts, it had a lot of, oh my God, how I'm gonna continue or how I'm gonna make it. But I know that this really pushed me in the difficult moments, and I know that it is a part of my character. Like today, for me, there is no such a thing as I quit before I succeed. So there is no other way. I think it's a characteristic, you know, it's a trait that someone has to have. Like, you see the fire in their eyes. You know that this kid, for example, maybe it was me, or maybe it is another kid today. When you look at them in the eyes and you ask them, what do they want? They look at you straight in the eyes with fire, and they answer these questions.
Right.
So when you see a kid like that, you know they will make it to whatever they will do.
Right.
So I approach coaching the same way I was approaching my professional basketball career. Like, I will do the extra work. I will wake up early in the morning. I will work extra. I will do the extra shooting. I will go first in the practice. I will leave last. I will follow whoever I need to follow to see, I mean, best coaches over the world, to see what they see, what they say, how they say, what do they think. I will just try to get better.
Right. Man. And see, that's one thing I really love your approach on, you know, the lessons that a player learns in basketball, they should be able to apply it to life. You know, I like to preach the same thing because, you know, basketball sport in general, it teaches so many things, you know, teamwork, communication, how to read body language, how to stay calm in pressure situations. And those same skills you learn in basketball, you can apply to life. And, you know, when you kind of reflect on your journey, what achievements are you most proud of, and what goals do you aspire to achieve in your coaching career?
I don't know. I mean, listen, if you put me in a competitive environment, I want to be the first.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's my character, because before I didn't mention it, but of course it takes huge traits that you need to have if you want to succeed.
Right.
It's not about only don't quit. It has a lot of things. You have to be resilient. You have to be competitive. You have to be stubborn. You're stubborn. Like, I'm not going to leave the gym until I make it.
Right.
Or I'm not going to, I don't know, leave my office before I finish the job, you know?
Right, right.
So exactly what I said. If you put me in a competitive environment, I want to be the best. Let's say we play EuroLeague. Of course, I want to be in the top four.
Right.
I know it's not going to happen within 1 year. I know it demands preparation, experience. I know it has a journey that you have to follow. And also in my life, I don't believe anyways in quick results.
Yes.
Because that's not capability. That's maybe more luck. And I don't want to be named as lucky, you know?
Yes.
But my number one goal for the moment is every day to give my players something that will inspire them, something that they will remember And that's all also has to do with feelings, because no one remembers what you said. Everybody remembers what, how you made them feel. And whenever they leave the gym or whenever they come back, I want them to have won something about life. For example, I'm going to say a very silly example, but for me, it was important because I invest on that.
Yes.
One of the things I was trying to teach my players were, whenever you leave the gym, you leave it clean. So I don't want to see garbage, bottles out of water, or whatever you brought with. You know, it takes time, especially for young kids, it takes time.
Yes.
But for me, it is important when they finish the season, they will bring this habit anywhere, everywhere, anytime. Even, you know, on the streets, or they go out with the friends and they're not going to leave their garbage somewhere. For example, and I'm telling you, this is a silly example, but I always come with an idea of something like that. One other thing that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make them care about the one that they have next to them. It's not easy. That is maybe the hardest thing.
Yes, yes.
And you're talking now to a person that I have big ego and I'm very competitive. And as a player, that was really, really dynamite, you know?
Yes.
But this is what I want to teach them, you know, like care a little bit more about your next one. Like, for example, if you took 5 shots and your teammate didn't touch the ball, I will stop the practice and ask you, how would you feel if you were in their spot?
Well,
so I will make them think or feel, you know. I'm trying to teach them this kind of stuff. Or like I said, confidence, you know. We talk about making shots or winning games. And okay, repetitions give you confidence, right? But it is easy like that. Repetitions give you confidence. It is. But we never talk about how confidence gives you self-esteem.
Right.
And my purpose is, I'm going to use the dreams of basketball to build your confidence. But my goal is to build your self-esteem.
Here we go. Here we go. I love that. I love that. And man, see, I see. That's why I really do hope that, you know, the players that are fortunate enough to have you as a coach really kind of, you know, water the seeds that you are giving them, you know, that they're really thinking about how you're teaching them and just how to, you know, if you have a good approach to the game of basketball, then you will have a good approach to life itself, you know. And just looking at your highlights, you know, what stands out to you most, but also what were some of the lowlights, Avina, that made you a better person and player?
Dimitris, you are putting difficult things on me. Low lights. You mean things that didn't work out well?
Yes. Yes. So the highlights that, you know, that you're proud of, but also the low lights that really challenge you. But at the end, you know, you came out, you know, stronger and a better person.
Well, I've been in a team once that the environment was very toxic and I had to squeeze myself very, 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 very much. Right. I think I was under the ground. And it was a situation where I didn't like it and I wanted to get out. I was under a lot of pressure. I was losing main characteristics of me. But because I didn't want to create a problem and hurt the club and my reputation, of course, I chose to stay and go through this.
Right.
And today I can tell you that this was the biggest school that I've been through. Because I learned that not all battles are your battles to give. That you don't have to fight for everything that's happening next to you or around you.
Right.
You should only give your own battles. Sometimes you have to be patient, even if you hate it, because I hate it.
Yeah.
Tough times make you really, really stronger. even though we don't like it.
Yes.
And more wiser sometimes. So also I remember that there was a couple of games that I was given the last shot and I missed it.
Right.
Or some games where I was the best player of the league and I didn't play good in some of the games that I should. I remember very few, but still, games where I couldn't find my energy, I couldn't find my rhythm, I couldn't, I don't know, something was wrong, you know, one of those days where it was embarrassing to watch me play, or that's how I felt at least.
What?
But today I can tell you that I'm thankful for those moments because those moments, like you said, made me stronger.
Yes.
Made me better and kept me humble. And the last one for me is the best, the most important. Because imagine a player, whoever, that never fail, never miss, never get rejected.
Adversity, yeah. Wow, Sian. Man, it's, I mean, we're kind of at the part of the podcast which I like to call the fourth quarter, you know, just before we wrap up, I like to call this segment the quick hitter segment. And the first one, I'm just super curious, just with your wealth of knowledge and experience, the first question I've got for you, Avina, is what would you say? And this could be a two-part question, you know, for basketball and in life. What would you say, Avina, is a skill that is taught by many but only mastered by a few?
Very difficult question. How somebody can answer this? you know, sometimes I say to myself that actually, I'm not saying I live like that. Life is like basketball. Basketball is life for me.
Absolutely.
And the way I live life is the way I play the game. Sometimes you have to be aggressive. Sometimes you have to be passive. Sometimes you need to act. Sometimes you need to react. Sometimes you make turnovers. Sometimes you steal the ball. Sometimes you take big shots and you make them. Sometimes you lose them.
Yes.
I think now, to answer your question, that you have to keep going. You have to keep moving.
Absolutely.
Just keep going. Like, there is no quit. There is no stop. There is no return. There is nothing. Just keep going. Read the game and keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you kind of answered my next question here, but it was best piece of advice you ever received.
Oh. received. Wow. Okay. I have this one because it really stays on my mind.
Okay.
At some point in my career, I started a game really bad. And as you know, I was a scorer and I was a shooter, and that didn't really help me during the match. So I had a teammate from USA, actually from USA basketball national team. She came to me during the halftime. She looked at me and said, "Listen, Amina, in basketball, you have to have short memory. No matter what happened the previous second, it doesn't exist the next second." I had to work with this sentence in my mind for a couple of months. But after that, I learned to live with that. And it made me happier. It made my mind and my life easier. And also it helped me a lot with basketball because this is exactly what it is. A lot of players, they are stuck with one turnover, one miss shot, or I don't know, two miss shots or two free throws. And like I said, life moves on. Like, keep going. Like, don't look back. Forget it. And that's what I try also to build to my athletes. Like, short memory. Doesn't matter.
What?
It's done. It's past. It's not even now. It's really difficult. We all live with regrets and guilt and, I don't know, mistakes. But if you think about it, this is the truth.
What? Right. Oh man, I love that. I love that. And just the final two, if it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have learned filling the blank about myself.
I wouldn't have learned anything about me. I wouldn't have learned what I'm capable of to do. I wouldn't have learned how far I could go.
Right.
Because all these things now I can tell you by looking back, but because of basketball, if I turn my head and look in front, now I know that wherever I want to go, I can go. I know the way. I know what I have to do.
Right.
I need to work harder. I need to make a plan. I need to start practicing. I need to, you know. Of course, not to forget to mention all these countries I visit, all these people I met, all these cultures I met, I interact with. Even today, you and me, you know, it is because of basketball.
Absolutely. Man, and...
And that also helps... Sorry, no. That really helps you to see life with different eyes.
And that's one thing I do find is super interesting, you know, because I've been fortunate to have, you know, previous guests on the podcast where, you know, whether they started playing college basketball in America, Spain, Canada, and when they look at the fact that their love for basketball has taken them to so many different countries and they learn, you know, the country that they're in through the food, the culture, their approach to sport. And it's just fascinating to know that my love for one thing has introduced me to so many people and just, you know, left me with so many amazing memories. So for yourself, Avina, what would the... If there was, you know, there's a young boy, a young girl who's in a bookstore, they're asking, yeah, I'm looking for the book written by Avina. Oh, yeah, go upstairs, turn left. You'll see it right there, top shelf. What would the title of your autobiography be?
Oh, wow. No, very, very nice question. Two are coming in my mind. Can I use two or just...
Of course. No, no, no. Please. Let's do two.
The first one that came into my mind is... The title will be My Pathway.
Okay.
In a meaning of, this is how I went there. This is what I did. This is how I did it. You understand my point?
Yes. Yes.
And the second, because I want to use the word basketball. So I would say, with the basketball in my hands, I travel the whole world, something like that. Or, I mean, that's the key.
Right.
Maybe like, I don't know how to say in English, maybe the way to get there.
Yes.
It was a basketball.
Right.
Something like that.
Right. Okay.
Or maybe I met myself through basketball.
I like that one. Okay.
Lucky I keep this one in.
I like that one. I like that one. And
no, Dimitri, sorry to take your time, but I really want to say this. It is true, you know, because when I was very, very young,
yes,
my mother used to criticize me. She didn't want to, but she used to.
Right.
Telling me that playing with balls and playing with boys, it is not normal and I shouldn't do that and I should do something else. And when I told them, I want to play basketball, they said, this is not normal, you should do something else, blah, blah, blah. But this is how I developed myself. This is how I found out things about me. This is how I found out that my energy level,
right,
was super healthy. It was nothing wrong with me. I just couldn't play with dolls.
Right.
It was okay, you know? Or my competitive character couldn't fit in a room.
Yes.
Reading fairy tales. You know, something like that. So I found a playground where I went out there to discover myself, what I can do, what I like, what I don't like. How can I be pushed? How I can be pushed.
Right.
You know, all this stuff.
I really appreciate you even sharing that story, because I mean, even, and that was back then, and even now, I mean, just even on that note, how would you say, Avina, especially when you first started, you know, playing in the WNBA, how do you see the evolution of women's basketball and just the positive changes that you've seen about it?
Well, higher than basketball. It is more than basketball, because women in sport, they haven't been where they should be for years, you know?
Right.
And what's happening now with WNBA, I think it's great, because women can play basketball. And now they get the lights that they deserve. You know what I mean? So this slowly, I think it's coming to Europe. Slowly, of course, like I said, in some countries faster, in some countries slower. But women should be where they belong. Not because I think that men and women are equal. I'm not saying something like that. I'm saying that we all have the right to be where we belong. Now, we need to stop the stereotypes, you know, and it's good. I mean, I like where WNBA is now. I like how women athletes are coming in front of the scenes.
Right.
I like how basketball itself is changing a lot faster than it was. Gets a lot of promotion, bigger than before. Social media also helps with that.
Right. But I love that. I love that, man. And I mean, honestly, for me, just speaking to Lisa, this has been an absolute treat. And again, it's just, you know, it's really cool to find that, you know, we have coaches and just players, former players such as yourself, that, you know, you're not only teaching these players tools to use in basketball, you're teaching these players tools that they can use in life, you know, which I think is so key and so huge. And listeners, do not worry, the link to find her will be in the description. But for those who are inspired by your story, Avina, and they kind of want to just follow your journey, they want to watch highlights, they want to just see how you teach the game of basketball and just learn more about you, where can they find you?
Well, where you found me, I guess. Instagram is one way to communicate, LinkedIn, of course. And then, I don't know, people should just try to contact me. I'm pretty open, and share all this experience and from basketball. There are some video clips in YouTube, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Amazing. Amazing. Listeners, again, we appreciate your time, the special guest, Avina Maltsy, being on the podcast with myself. It's been a huge honor. This is myself and the former Greek national player who is now a coach at a great academy, Coach Avina Maltsy, signing out.